26 points, also boosted by positive reports on manufacturing, construction, and pending home sales. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. We're going to be discussing a very important topic. A topic that is certainly extremely relevant for where we find ourselves in our country today, just generally speaking, but maybe even more so during a downed economy. I think even a lot of Christians might be a little bit confused by the topic that we're talking about today as to what the Scripture actually says about it. And the topic that I'm referring to is the topic of gambling. What does the Bible have to say about the subject of gambling? I know right here in South Carolina, gambling was proposed as a way to dig the state out of some of their debt, and they talked about it, and they did, instituted a lottery system in order to pay for education and these types of things. I've been reading some recent articles that other states are looking at doing the same in order to dig them out of the economic crisis that they find themselves in. They're opening up casinos and these types of things as a way out. But what does the Bible have to say about this? Is this something that the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should be supporting? Should we be speaking out against it? Well, a lot of people don't speak out against it because they're not sure what the Bible says on this particular issue. To help us today to talk through this, my special guest on the program today is Phil Johnson, and Phil is the executive director of Grace to You, which is a Christian tape and radio ministry featuring the preaching ministry of John MacArthur. In fact, John MacArthur's radio program is now right here on Christian Talk 660. It just started up here again, I think at, I'm going to say 11:30 or so. I'm not sure. I'll double check that. But 11:30 each day right here on Christian Talk 660. So to help us talk through this issue, Phil is going to be joining us here in just a second. I just want to tell you about his blog, because he's been blogging about this issue. There are about six different article or blog posts out there on his blog site that you can read through this. That blog is Team Pyro at blogspot.com. That's Team, T-E-A-M, Pyro, P-Y-R-O, at blogspot, or dot blogspot.com. And you can go out there and read all of these articles for yourself. But those are the types of things that we're going to be discussing on the program today. Without any further ado, Phil, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Let's jump right into it, Phil. In your discussions out there on your blog spot, which I commend you, especially after reading the how this came about, I commend your courage and your fortitude and looking at this subject and addressing it, a subject that basically I don't think has been addressed very often in Christian circles. But let's start off with just the idea of the fact that we're not going to be able to just turn to a singular verse in the Scriptures here today, and from that verse, you know, we'll read, "Thou shalt not gamble." We're not going to find a verse like that, are we, in the Scriptures?
No, that's right. And it's interesting. Scripture says almost nothing at all about gambling. Spurgeon was fond of pointing out that the only place the Bible even mentions gambling is in all four Gospels at the foot of the cross when the soldiers gambled for Christ's garment.
Mm. Not a very good legacy for anybody holding to the idea of gambling when you've only got the one case to go with, and there they were gambling for his only earthly possession right at the time of the death of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Although you say that there is no verse, though, that points to these things, you make the point that the essential characteristics of gambling violate one or more biblical principles. So that's how we're going to have to look at this issue. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly right. And in fact, I would say that's the reason Scripture doesn't specifically address the subject, is because the principles of the law, God's law, and particularly the Ten Commandments, pretty clearly rule out gambling.
Mm-hmm. And so this isn't true only with gambling. I mean, there are other topics that we accept, if I could put it this way. We accept that methodology of coming to an understanding as to what the scriptural teaching is about. Let's, for instance, a positive one would be the doctrine of the Trinity, where we would deduce from a number of scriptures what the teaching concerning the Trinity is. Correct?
Yeah, and obviously that's an important one. I think every Christian and every church in the mainstream of Christian history would say that Trinitarian doctrine is essential Christianity. If you reject the doctrine of the Trinity, you're not really a true Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a very important doctrine, and yet you can't really go to a single proof text to deal with it. You have to take the totality of what Scripture teaches about the person of Christ and the Godhead, and put it all together, and from that you can clearly glean the doctrine of the Trinity, but if you're looking for a single proof text, it's going to be impossible to find one.
In fact, the actual word, right, as the cults have kind of thrown back at us very often, the actual word Trinity is not contained in the Scripture, and yet, as you have just said, we can deduce from a number of teachings throughout the Word of God that this is the doctrinal truth concerning the Trinity that we've developed in Protestant Christianity over the years.
Exactly. In fact, I think if you study the Trinity from a doctrinal perspective and a biblical perspective, just what Scripture has to say about the Godhead, it's sufficiently clear. Even though there's not a single verse that lays it out for us, what Scripture teaches about the Trinity is sufficiently clear. And I would say the same thing is true about gambling. There are other examples you could give. The one I gave in my blog posts is arson. There's not a single proof text that forbids arson either, and yet I don't think anyone would try to argue seriously that arson is not a sin simply because Scripture never names it as one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our Bibles, if it named every possible aspect of sin that we can do, sins of omission and sins of commission, our Bibles would be so large we wouldn't be able to even carry them around with us. It would seriously impact the ability, the portability of the Scriptures of walking around with them in our hand. In your article, you also go to a place where you define some of the terms that we're talking about. Let's do that before we go to the first break. I want to define the idea of what it means to gamble. And then, secondly, you build into that definition a word that people are probably familiar with, but the idea of a stake. And then, you know, flowing out of that, you develop a little bit of a working definition. Would you do that for us quickly? And then we will go ahead and take our first break and come right back into some of the points that you cover in these blog posts.
Right. And let me say that I think the definitions are absolutely vital. One of the reasons there's so much confusion about this is people don't really understand what they're talking about when they speak of gambling. It's got to the point where lots of people think any kind of risk is a gamble, and so we actually use the word gamble as a synonym for risk, and that's not really a solid definition of gambling. Legally and technically, to gamble is to wager or to bet on a contest or a game that involves an element of chance for a prize that is a stake put up by the participants. That's gambling.
Now, when you those words are carefully chosen, because when you say about the stake being there and you specifically say put up by the participants, that becomes a very important point in differentiating gambling from what a farmer does or what insurance companies do or what the stock market is all about. It's very important that the prize or the stakes that come to a person, that these come out of the other people playing the game. Is that correct?
Right. A stake, the technical definition is it's a prize that one person stands to gain through the loss of others who are participating in the game, which would separate gambling from, say, a door prize at some kind of party or whatever. If there's a door prize and the prize was contributed for promotional purposes by, you know, say, some large corporation that's giving away one of their products for promotional purposes, and you can win that as a door prize, that's not gambling because you haven't really put anything at stake. Nobody's put anything at stake. It's a prize that was donated for promotional purposes. So a door prize isn't the same as gambling, although you'll often hear people say, hey, it's the same thing. It is not the same thing. A stake is a prize you win from the other participants in the game.
So in order for you to win, somebody has to lose.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And there's where the real problem comes in, and there's where we begin to point to some of the verses in the scripture. When you're winning something or when you're taking somebody from somebody else and profiting from the loss of other people, I think we can start to see where how this could be problematic for Christians to be participating in it.
Right, starting with the sin of coveting.
Mm-hmm.
You participate in the game in the first place because you are coveting something that belongs to your neighbor, and that obviously is what the Tenth Commandment forbids.
Sure. Well, I want to get to that. Let's go ahead and take a very quick commercial break, and when we come back from the break, then we'll go ahead and if we don't have any callers yet down the line, we'll go ahead and work our way through that a little bit. I want to tell our listeners, by the way, we're speaking with Phil Johnson about God's Word and gambling. What does it have to say about gambling? And you're invited to participate in the conversation. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I'll give you a couple of other ways when we come back from the break that you can participate as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
A 747 gracefully defies gravity as its 400-plus tons ascends into the air. It's not that the pull of gravity just disappears. It's simply that the lift beneath the wings is greater than the pull of gravity below. That's the picture of life and how our station can help. We can't make the weight of the world disappear for you.
But the message in our programs can help provide the lift you need to help you make it through.
So thanks for your support as we help people focus on the one who can lift people up to soar on eagle's wings.
Tell your friends about Christian Talk 660.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
The busyness of the Christmas season can distract us from reflecting on its deeper meaning. Nancy Guthrie has put together a helpful collection of Advent readings called Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Published by Crossway, this anthology draws from Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther, John Piper, Randy Alcorn, and many others. Each essay looks at Scripture and expounds on a particular aspect of the Christmas story. This refreshing collection is perfect for gifts or family devotions.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
What in the... Get that tire off my good rug.
But it's part of my plan to save us money.
That tire is not going to be our coffee table.
Sweetie, this is to remind us that properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about gambling and God's Word, and we're doing so with Phil Johnson, who's the Executive Director of Grace to You, the tape and radio ministry. of John MacArthur celebrating 40 years of service and service to the church and service to many, many people around the world. Of course, John MacArthur's ministry and just been a tremendous blessing. And we thank Phil and John for all the work that they do there. It's certainly been a blessing in my life over the years, and I know for many of our listeners as well. We're talking about the subject of gambling because it's in the news today for sure, but also I think that there is just some level of general confusion as to what the Scripture teaches about this subject. And so we're wading through some articles that Phil has written on this subject and getting to some of these points that are here in the text. I had told you that you can participate in the conversation by calling 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. It's good across the country and beyond. And also, I have email up and running, so if you would rather just send me a quick email, it's kevin@knowingthetruth.org, kevin@knowingthetruth.org, or you can also send me a tweet. I do have Twitter up and running, and the account is Knowing the Truth. And so if you'd like to just send in a tweet with your question or your comment, we'll try to work it into the discussion that way as well. Let's go back to our discussion. Phil, just before the break, we had introduced the idea of how that gambling was different from a few of these other things that people might put up as an objection to what you're saying. They might say, well, wait a second, are you saying that a sweepstake is, or door prizes when I go somewhere, those are, that I'm participating in gambling just because they, you know, they enter my name in? And you talked about, well, no, that's not the same thing, and it's not that same thing because it doesn't involve the other participants losing something if you win.
Right.
Here's one that I would think people come up with, and I noticed that you deal with it pretty extensively in your articles, but most people, I think, would come up with the analogy of the stock market. And they would say, wait a second, Phil, you know, participating in the stock market is gambling. What say you?
Well, it's not really. It's investing, which is not to say that I approve of all the ways people invest in the stock market. You know, day trading really isn't serious investing. It's it's much more like gambling than normal investing would be. But the stock market itself is not a mechanism for gambling. That's not what it's set up to be. It's set up to be a mechanism for investment, which Scripture recognizes the legitimacy of. And when you put your money in the stock market, the money goes to work in the economy. That's one of the things that distinguishes it from gambling. If you look at my definition, or just pay attention to the definition of gambling that I gave a few minutes ago, there are four elements to that. One, something valuable is put at risk. Number two, something that belongs to somebody else is at stake as a prize. Third, there's always an element of chance involved in determining the outcome. And fourth, it doesn't create any new wealth in the process. And that fourth element is really what sets it apart from investments. Where in gambling, it's not really an investment. A stake is not an investment. A stake just sits on the table until somebody wins it. The money you invest in the stock market is an investment in the economy.
Now, would have you had some people come back and say, oh, wait a second, you know, it does improve the economy. I mean, look at Las Vegas economy. It's all built around this particular subject.
That's the typical answer, that gambling is a form of entertainment. And so like any other form of entertainment, it does, that money does circulate in the economy. And Vegas and other communities that are built on gambling are proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem with that is it's that's an illusion, actually. Whatever prosperity you see in the growth of cities like Vegas comes at the expense of other cities where those revenues are taken from and put into Vegas's economy by gambling, because it is a zero-sum game.
Mm-hmm.
There is no wealth created. It simply moved from one place or the other. And so as you see Vegas and other gambling-based communities grow, what you see is a corresponding decline in other cities where that revenue is taken out of their economy.
It's a form of wealth redistribution, I guess, huh?
It is, and in fact, it always works so that the money is redistributed from the poor to the rich.
Mm.
That's the difficulty with gambling. That's the fallacy behind all these arguments for government-based lottery schemes and so on. What it really amounts to is a tax on the poor.
Mm.
That's another reason, by the way, why I would say biblically the whole system is just shot through with injustice by biblical standards,
mm-hmm.
because it takes advantage of the poor.
Yeah, I remember in our in New York when they, you know, had the lottery there. I believe it was there when I lived in New York, but it was the slogan for the lottery was a dollar and a dream. And so, you know, you had very poor people who were placing their dreams upon buying a lottery ticket. And I had actually worked for a printing company there, and we printed the lottery tickets for New York State at this company. And I remember I would work in the third shift where we would collate some of these things, and they were just reams upon reams, or actually pallets upon pallets of full-size sheets, about the same size as the pallet, of lottery tickets. And we would print for weeks and weeks and weeks. We would print the losers. And then just one day they printed the winners, because they would have to have armed guards and special collating to mix these in with the rest of the ones that were printed. But the analogy that they gave just in this scenario was that in order to win the lottery, if you took Dixie cups, those real small little cups for, you know, drinking water and a little Dixie dispenser, if you took those and you lined football fields, three football fields end to end, and then you went up in a helicopter and threw out a ping pong ball, if the ping pong ball landed in your cup down there with your name in it, that was the odds of you winning the lottery. So it was designed for people to lose, and many, many people did lose. And they lost a tremendous amount of money. It never seemed to stop at a dollar. It seemed to go very far beyond that.
Yeah.
Let's run to the phone lines very quick. We've got Ron is up first. Ron, welcome in. You got a question or a comment about gambling today?
Yeah, I had an interruption there, so I might not pick up on this from my listening, that is. Question on the Bible, speaking to it. Does the gentleman that you're interviewing work it through with the general principles of the various commandments that would address such a thing?
Yeah. We're going to look at a few here in just a minute, Ron. We're going to look at covetousness is going to be one. The other thing is about laziness or slothfulness, you know, and not applying ourselves to work, and stewardship and a lack of self-control, and a number of these other scriptural points as we go through it.
Great. Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, great. You want to comment on that at all, Phil?
Yeah, also, and I don't want this to get lost, I would say stealing is the big one. I really think that if you boil it down, gambling is a form of systematic stealing.
Mm.
Gambling, think about this. Gambling is to stealing what dueling is to murder.
Mm.
It's a game agreed upon ahead of time so that, you know, the loser actually loses his possessions in a way that he's not really willing to give up. He's put those things at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a systematized form of taking that which belongs to another, which you have no right to, which, you know, by every biblical definition is a form of stealing.
We've dealt with the idea of the objection that comes up about the stock market itself, but it's a little bit of a complicated subject, of course, you know, thinking about the stock market. Let's go through one of the more simplistic arguments that people would raise, you know, at the other end of the spectrum. Basically, what about the farmer who just plants a seed hoping to yield a crop? I think we've already dealt with why this wouldn't be, but let's just reiterate. He plants a seed in the ground, and he's hoping to get a yield. He's kind of dependent on whatever the weather's going to be and how that crop's going to do. How does he differ from somebody who is gambling?
Because if his investment, if his risk, and let's be honest, there's a risk involved there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said at the very outset, risk is not the same as gambling. There are legitimate times to take risk, and the farmer does when he plants a field, when he buys the seed. He's taking a risk that the weather will be good and that this will pay off. If it does pay off, nobody loses. He gains. The economy grows. he's actually increased the amount of wealth that's available to everybody.
Mm.
So that's why it's not at all like gambling. It actually increases the economy. It produces wealth, and everyone wins if the farmer wins. So that's a legitimate form of risk that Scripture recognizes and affirms.
Well, when you talk about risk, right away comes to mind the idea of insurance companies. And I know that some have raised that and said, well, you know, then you shouldn't buy insurance. But again, risk is not synonymous with gambling.
Yeah, that's right.
And so how, with the insurance company, for them to, although they're being made out to be the bad guy even today as we speak again, with the whole healthcare system, by the way, we'll talk about that tomorrow on the radio program. But anyways, with the healthcare system or just insurance companies in general, why is what they do not considered to be synonymous with gambling?
Because it isn't a game they're playing for to acquire the wealth of someone else. Now, I'm not trying to endorse everything every insurance company has ever done.
Sure.
I think there obviously are unscrupulous people in every business. It's just like I said about investing. There are people who play the stock market as if it were a gambling game, and I think that's wrong for many of the same reasons that gambling is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There are tactics that insurance companies use that I think are unethical, and they're wrong. So I'm not giving a sweeping approval to everything that everybody does in every one of these endeavors. I'm just saying it's substantially different from gambling because it doesn't fit the definition of gambling, which is that, you know, you're playing a game for something that belongs to someone else. Insurance provides a service where if it's done correctly, everybody benefits.
Mm.
It helps the economy.
Exactly.
It's a hedge against disaster.
Well, let's go ahead. We'll take our next break, and then when we come back from the break, I'll go ahead and start us on this discussion about some of the verses in the Scripture, some of the connected issues or doctrines that we find in the Word of God that deal with the subject of gambling. So we'll look to do that when we come back. Remember, just in summarizing what we've gone through already, gambling involves four elements. Something valuable is put at risk. Something belonging to someone else is put as the prize. The element of chance is involved in determining the outcome, and no new wealth is created.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Hello, this is Pastor Virgil Harris of Calvary Redemption Center Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Welcome you to Bloodline, which will come to you every Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m. on Christian Talk 660, where we'll be discussing the power of the blood, whereby each and every person can receive every promise that God has delivered. So we invite you to tune in and be blessed with us in Jesus' name.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie D's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie D's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie D's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie D's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
This Christmas, help Crossway reach 1 million homes with God's Word. Crossway has designed outreach bags containing an ESV New Testament, a gospel tract, and a personalizable invitation to a Christmas service. This is a perfect outreach program for your church as you partner with believers across the country to share the good news of Christmas. Your church can download free video clips, invitations, and more at goodnewsofchristmas.org. For more information, visit your local Christian retail store or go to crossway.org.
Does it scare you to know that bed bugs are real? Or that termites cause billions of dollars in property damage? Does it frighten you to know that cockroaches contribute to asthma? Well, it shouldn't. What should really scare you is not knowing these things. Because knowing about household pest threats is the best way to prevent them. And it's a lot less scary than the prospect of learning about them the hard way. This message brought to you by the National Pest Management Association. Learn more at pestworld.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and you are listening to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're speaking with Phil Johnson, the Executive Director of Grace to You Ministries there in Southern California, of course, the ministry of John MacArthur, and we're discussing the subject of gambling, God's Word and gambling. What does it have to say about that? I mentioned just before the break that tomorrow we'll be talking about the health of the nation. I'll be doing an interview with Edward Lee Pitts, who's the Washington Bureau Chief and columnist for World Magazine. Lee has written a number of articles about this subject, and of course, debate started again yesterday, I think, in Washington about the new health care bill. And so he'll be giving us an update about that, and we'll be talking about various aspects of that health care bill. So you don't want to miss that tomorrow on our special Worldview Wednesday, sponsored by World Magazine edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Let's go back to our discussion now with Phil Johnson about the subject of gambling, that we find that the Scripture does have something to say about this. A lot of people have just concluded, since they don't see just a specific verse where it says, "Thou shalt not gamble," they've concluded, well, then maybe the Scripture doesn't have anything to say about this at all. But what about the subject of covetousness? When we look at gambling the way that we've just defined it here a few moments ago and talked about those four essential elements in the idea of gambling, it starts to go down this path of covetousness. Phil, would you flesh that out for us a little bit, please?
Yeah, obviously, if the prize in a gambling game is something that belongs to your opponent or a group of opponents, then in playing the game, you're reflecting a desire to get something that is not rightfully yours, that belongs to them. And that is the very definition of covetousness. It's I think, the very thing Paul is talking about in 1 Timothy 6, when he says that those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. I think it's almost certain that gambling is included in what he's talking about there. It was a common practice in those times. And then he goes on to say, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and some have strayed from the faith because of greediness. They've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then he says, you, man of God, flee those things. He's saying stay as far away from the temptation to love money or covet your neighbor's possessions as possible. It is a grievous sin. We tend to think of covetousness as one of the minor commandments, but it isn't. And Scripture says it's a serious sin, and we should stay far away from it.
I have found myself interested in looking at some of the stories that are related to people that have won the lotteries over the years. And you want to read just a heartbreaking stories about people who say, I remember specifically one of the fellows that had won one of the largest lottery payouts in history. He said 1 year after he had won that lottery, he said that he wished he would have never even played it before. Because of the trouble that it brought into his life, it just, I remember in that particular case, his granddaughter ended up overdosing on drugs. His granddaughter was just the apple of his eye. But because when he won this money, he had given her a significant amount of money, then she had all kinds of unscrupulous people that had gathered around her trying to get money. And because of that, she then got involved in a number of other things and ended up overdosing on drugs. And then he was cursing the day, basically, that he had ever played the lottery. And the sad part was is that he had a significant amount of money before he even started. I think he had bought something like, you know, 100 lottery tickets or even more. He was wealthy even before he started. But that speaks to this whole idea of covetousness and not being content with what the Lord has given to us. I was looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith on the subject of covetousness. It says this. It says, "The tenth commandment forbiddeth all discontentment with our own estate, envying or grieving at the good of our neighbor, and all inordinate motions and affections to anything that is his." And then it says, "The tenth commandment requires full contentment with our own condition and a right and a charitable frame of spirit toward our neighbor and all that is his." So when you look at the fuller understanding or the fuller context of what is meant in that tenth commandment, "Thou shalt not covet," we can see that we could certainly slide in the idea that is contained in the thoughts about gambling. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And it's also associated with a host of other sins. You mentioned slothfulness, just sheer foolishness. Proverbs 22:16 says, "The person who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich shall surely come to want." I read that verse and I thought, that's a strange verse. We understand that it's not right to oppress the poor in order to increase our riches, but this verse also says you shouldn't give your money to the rich. And I thought, who gives away their money to rich people? Mm-hmm. The answer is people who gamble in casinos do it all the time. Mm. And it's foolish. It's foolish on both counts, because gambling oppresses the poor for the sake of increasing the wealth of the rich. And it's foolish for the poor person who gambles hoping to win a lot, because he's actually giving his money to people who are rich, and that's just—it's foolish.
You put some statistics actually under the idea of being wasteful as well, but it fits in here, I think, equally well. You put gambling is an expensive business. In 1974, statistics showed Americans were betting about $17 billion per year through legal channels. That's an astonishing sum, or an astronomical sum, but it is ballooned to $300 billion in 1992, and by most estimates, Americans now wager more than $600 billion each year. That's billion with a B, and that's more, you put in the article, than we spend on food.
Yeah.
That, when we think about it that way, I mean, certainly we can see the idea of the foolishness of it, of giving $600 billion to the rich, like you're saying, but also the idea of being so wasteful.
Yeah, it's astonishing that people do that. I think I also mentioned that the average compulsive gambler has accumulated debts in excess of $80,000, gambling debts. That's the average compulsive gambler.
Mm-hmm. So we see in this, you know, some people say, well, you know, that's not me. I don't do it this way. But, you know, just think about what good has ever really come out of gambling. Most of the times when it's introduced as a solution to some sort of economical problems, we see the statistics associating with it, the increase in crime that comes from it, the addiction that we're talking about right now. You know, this is a huge problem, so much so that even the gambling places are running ads, you know, almost against themselves, or to try to tell people to be responsible in the way that they gamble. So obviously they see that it's a huge problem as well.
Right.
And I think that through a little bit of coercion from the government or whatever, they go ahead and put these things in place. You mentioned the idea of slothfulness, and this is an area I think that a lot of people don't consider. You just read the verse there, but the idea about he that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not the poverty shall come upon him. But one element that I have noticed in this is when people buy into any sort of a get-rich-quick scheme, which is basically what gambling is, that there are certain lessons that are taught and should be learned when we are earning money in the right way. And if you get the money, if you get the reward and all of that comes along with it, in a way that the Bible does not promote, by earning it, you also then don't have the maturity that goes along with having that responsibility for the money. Do you agree?
No, I do agree. In fact, the verse you read, I think, is a condemnation of easy, get-quick-rich schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that they lead to poverty. And the fact is, they do. Mm-hmm. There's more even. We're barely scratching the surface of biblical principles that make gambling wrong. Another big one that we haven't even mentioned is the sin of putting God to the test.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that gambling, since it relies so heavily on chance, the idea of chance or a random outcome, it really amounts to a practical denial of the doctrine of divine providence,
mm-hmm.
which is the very thing James forbids when he says, you brethren who say, tomorrow we'll go here and do this and do that, that's wrong. He says that's a sin, actually, to talk that way. What we ought to say is, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or do that. Well, if you live your life with that perspective, that everything is subject to the providence of God and God's sovereign direction, what do you do when you come to gambling and it's supposedly based on a random or a chance outcome? What you're really saying is either that you exclude this game from that, or that you actually, as a Christian gambling, are thinking that God is going to determine the outcome of this game in your favor. Is there anyone brash enough to sit down at a gambling table and actually believe that?
Mm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The sovereignty of God and the providence of God are certainly being called into question. I think that it is, there's a sense of rebelling against the place that God has put you in this life already. There's a discontent with what the Lord has given you, and because of that discontent, you're trying to override the place and the position that the Lord has put you in this life by going outside the acceptable means and manner in which we should change our position in this life. I'm not saying that, you know, people shouldn't try to get a raise or to have a better job or to better educate themselves so that they can have a better job and income in their life. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that there are biblical ways of going about that, which include a number of lessons along the way. Hard work pays off. Patience and these types of things are learned along the way, whereas gambling and doing it this way circumvents all of that. It goes outside the divinely ordained means that God has given to us to earn wealth, and I think in the end is also speaking about a rebellious attitude towards a rebellious attitude in that we are trying to circumvent where God has placed us in this life. I want to come back to a couple of these thoughts. We're going to go ahead and take our final break for today, and then we'll come back with just a couple of concluding thoughts before we conclude the program today. You're listening to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, and we're speaking with Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You Ministries, the tape and radio ministry of Dr. John MacArthur. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We're talking about God's Word and gambling.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Everyone knows a family that's hurting from the influences of our increasingly godless American culture. Serving Hurting Families is a brand new program designed to help parents navigate the waters of the tumultuous preteen and teen years. Hi, my name is Trace Embry, the director of Shepherd's Hill Farm. Join me Thursday afternoons at 12:30 as we talk about the issues families struggle with today. Together, we'll look to the Bible for hope. Serving Hurting Families will also be heard on Saturday mornings at 11 here on Christian Talk 660. I look forward to talking with you.
The busyness of the Christmas season can distract us from reflecting on its deeper meaning. Nancy Guthrie has put together a helpful collection of Advent readings called Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Published by Crossway, this anthology draws from Charles Spurgeon, Martin Luther, John Piper, Randy Alcorn, and many others. Each essay looks at Scripture and expounds on a particular aspect of the Christmas story. This refreshing collection is perfect for gifts or family devotions.
In October of 2003, a raging fire devastated massive portions of Southern California, destroying more than 3,000 homes and claiming 22 lives. Ken Hale was one of the heroic firefighters working to control the fire. He said, "As soon as I found out people had died, it changed my entire outlook on the fire. It became something very deadly, a monster." Some of us need that kind of change in perspective regarding sin. We've all seen how sins like adultery can destroy a life. But sins that we consider small can be deadly too. Our hearts for God can be destroyed when the fires of jealousy, anger, self-pity, worry, or gluttony go unchecked. The book of James says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Are there any sparks of sin threatening to engulf your life? With Seeking Him, I'm Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift this year? Why not give a gift with a message of hope that has eternal significance? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast final segment. That means you're down to just about 8 minutes or so, if that, to be able to ask your question of our special guest today, Phil Johnson, the Executive Director of Grace to You Ministries. We've been talking about God's Word and gambling and looking at what the Scripture has to say about this. And just to recap a couple of our points, we said that you're not going to find a verse that specifically says, thou shalt not gamble, but that doesn't mean that the Bible condones it or encourages it, even worse. But you can look at other issues or other teachings of the Scripture, and through those you can see how gambling would fit in there. Slothfulness, we talked about a lack of self-control. We could talk about the idea of wastefulness. We talked about the sovereignty of God and the providence of God. We talked about the idea of covetousness and all of these different issues. I want to encourage you, you can read through these articles for yourself out at Phil's blog. He blogs on a regular basis out at teampyro.blogspot.com. That's teampyro out at blogspot.com. And by the way, you can also follow him on Twitter as well, and you'll see how to do that when you go out to his Blogspot page. A couple of other things I wanted to let you know, speaking about receiving tweets and Twitter and all that fun stuff, I wanted to let you know that there is a special running right now from the folks there at Grace to You. And if you've never before contacted Grace to You Ministries, you can right now, if you contact them for the first time, you can receive a free copy of, quote, Why We Believe the Bible is True, unquote. That's a new book by John MacArthur, and so you can go out there to Grace to You to find out more. If you follow them on Twitter, you'll get some of these tweets about some of the books that they offer as well. Phil, during the break, I got a question sent in from the Rogue Angel out there on Twitter. And she writes, what about bingo? She says, our local school system uses bingo to make money for our schools. What do you think about that?
Well, if the entry fees are treated as a stake so that the prize money comes from the entrance fees, then it fits the definition of gambling. And my argument always has been that if gambling is wrong on principle, if it violates biblical principles, then it's wrong in any degree or any amount. I haven't made a big deal of, penny ante poker games and stuff like that. I wouldn't, try to get someone excommunicated from the church if they play penny ante poker or whatever. But I don't see any argument for suggesting that it's legitimate. The idea that the winnings the rake is really what it would be, could be used to support education, that's really the same philosophy many states, including my state, California, now use for running state lotteries, that the money can go to support the school system and all of that. In every state that's ever been tried, it's a massive, monumental failure. The schools in California are still failing. And the sad thing is that the lottery turns into a tax, really, on the poorest segment of society, the people who most could use education.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's actually counterproductive, I think, in the long run. You can raise money through gambling games, but mm-hmm. is it a legitimate way to do it? I would say no, mm-hmm. because I think it violates too many biblical principles. Biblically, there are three legitimate ways that property or money or things of value can be transferred from one person to another. One is through labor, where money is earned by effort expended. And many passages of Scripture talk about that. The workman is worthy of his hire and so on. That would be the first, through labor. The second would be through commerce, by buying, selling, or investing. Several of Jesus' parables talked about investment and suggested that that's a legitimate way to transfer property. And the third would be through giving, gifts of charity. Hmm. And gambling is none of those. Gambling is a contest to try to acquire money rather than charity to give it away. And to make a charity event based on a gambling game is kind of a contradiction in terms.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Phil, and I thank you very much for writing about this subject, and I encourage people again to go out there and read the full arguments that you lay out in six or seven articles out there on this subject. And by the way, on the Knowing the Truth, I'm sorry, the Sermon Audio, www.sermonaudio.com/KnowingTheTruth blog for today's program, I listed all six of those as hyperlinks, and so folks can go right out there, click on those, and so it's all aggregate there, and they could read through one article right after the other. Phil, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule there with Grace to You and the fine work you guys are doing in order to visit with us today. And thank you very much for writing about this issue. I think you did a wonderful job of articulating why this Christians don't belong being involved in this at all.
Thank you, Kevin, and thanks for having me on.
Okay. We've been speaking to Phil Johnson, of course, and Phil is the executive director of Grace to You Ministries. That's the ministry of John MacArthur, 40 years of just ministering there in the church at Grace to You, through Grace to You, but at the church there at Grace Community Church in Southern California. You know, he's just done a wonderful job over the years. I've seen him just recently at a few of the Ligonier conferences and just really enjoy his ministry. Highly recommend, you know, especially at this time when you're looking for various Christmas gifts to give to someone, something with some spiritual significance to it, I encourage you to go out to their website at Grace to You Ministries and find out more about some of the specials that they're offering so that you could buy a gift that continues to give and to grow the spirituality of the people that you're giving it to, the true biblical spirituality of those people. So I encourage you to do that. I mentioned already that tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be speaking again with some of the folks from World Magazine. We've started a new Wednesday program called Worldview Wednesday. And on Worldview Wednesday, we interview somebody from the World Magazine each week on Wednesday. And tomorrow we'll be speaking with Edward Lee Pitts. We'll be speaking with him. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for World Magazine, a columnist for them, about the idea of health care and all this that's taking place. How should we, as Christians, think about what is taking place in the healthcare debate today? Should we be, for what is taking place for the new legislation, 2,000-page-plus legislation, or should we be against it? And if we're against it, why are we against it? What are some of the issues? And so we'll be seeking on tomorrow's Worldview Wednesday segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program to talk about that particular issue. Also coming up in just a couple of weeks, Mervyn Olasky is going to be with me. We'll be talking about the tragedy of American compassion. That deals well with what we're talking about tomorrow as well. But I just want to put that in your mind so you'll know on the 16th, Marvin will be with me talking about that subject. I want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Knowing the Truth. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.